Welcome one and all to another day, another week, another fantastic Monday here at the Damage Report with me, John Adirola, and potential future co-ruler of this earth, Francesca Fiorentini. How's it going, Francesca?
Very good. I was just floating to John beforehand that like maybe he and I should just like, you know, run things.
That's one way to go with it. I don't want to be the ruler though. I want to be a weirdo who writes a novel that's an allegory for politics that rulers of the future will read and be influenced by. That's what I want.
That's such a lib thing to say.
I want to be like, you're not going to get this reference, but in Andor, I want to be like the guy who gets crushed, who writes all this philosophy on like a tablet.
I watch Andor. And yes.
Oh yeah, you did. You did. That's true. Yeah, you did. Okay, sorry, I didn't give you enough credit. You do watch Star Wars sometimes. In any event, thank you all for being here. Consider this the tablet ravings of a possible madman. I'm John Adirola. She is Francesca Fiorentini. Francesca, it is always a pleasure to have you here. In particular, whenever we get the chance, I know this probably bothers you. You probably don't even like this, but when we get a chance to comment on comedy, I always want to take that opportunity with you. Oh boy. And so we will be doing that later today. Coming up in the bonus members content, which goes out to our tier two and tier three members on YouTube. Sign up if you're not already one. We're going to be talking about the White House Correspondents' Dinner and the comedy, both the actual comedy and the attempts at comedy there, as well as Donald Trump's response to the event. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But we do have some serious stuff to get to before we get to that, including, I guess, like the best we can hope for from the media in providing a little bit of pushback to right wingers who are critical of Donald Trump and are now very much back in his camp. We're gonna have some of that, and some of that's pretty fun. Donald Trump apparently recognizes, oh yeah, RFK Jr. is out there doing stuff. I should probably do something about that. So that'll be fun. And we have day two of hashtag puppy murdergate. So that'll be fun, as well as a couple of other notable politicians absolutely debasing themselves. So a lot of fun stuff out there, and that's just in the first hour. More fun in the aftermath, including AI generated Donald Trump. Is it fun? Is it crossing a line? We are going to debate that together. Now, ahead of all that, please hit the like button, share the stream, send us your comments. You might earn yourself a blueprint gift card. And like, I don't know, maybe during this one of the social breaks or something, go to tyt.com/voteTDR. There is like 2 days left to vote for the Damage Report to win a shorty for Best News in Politics podcast. I am soon going to stop pestering you, but not yet. Now the pestering continues. Mm-hmm. And you know what? If we don't win it, I might just talk about it every day for the rest of my life. Is that what you want? It'll be pointless. You won't be able to vote anymore, but it'll take up your time all the same. Is that what you want, America? TYT.com/voteTDR.
Imagine going your whole life and never letting go of not winning a shorty award.
No, I'll come up with a big lie about mules winning it for Al Jazeera. Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyway, with that said, let's set aside all that. Let's talk about some stuff going on out there. For the GOP, this is very much the season of falling in line. Now, previously, we had some big men, some mavericks, some rebels. They weren't just gonna bow down to Donald Trump. They were willing to tell it like it is and criticize him, even lay the blame at his feet where it belongs for horrendous things like the mismanagement of the pandemic or the coup on January 6th. But now it's looking like he might be president again, so those big men are suddenly deflating and no longer mavericks, no longer rebels. We want to show you some of the most embarrassing versions of this. And I want to start with someone who never misses an opportunity to embarrass himself. That is Lindsey Graham, going to ridiculous lengths to apologize for the crimes Donald Trump is accused of having committed. Take a look at this.
David Pecker, who ran the National Fires Parent Company, testified that he paid to catch and kill stories about Trump specifically to help his presidential campaign. You don't have any concerns about that?
You know, apparently a lot of people do this. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Tiger Woods. No, I think the whole thing is a crock.
Tiger Woods is not running for president, and the allegation is about, at least not
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, no, I got campaign. It. Yeah, I think the whole thing's BS. Okay. Yeah, I think it's all BS. Yeah, political BS.
I agree. At long last, I agree with Lindsey Graham. I think that everything you just said is BS, political BS. He's just saying what he thinks he needs to say. Those other people are not running for president. Like, can you imagine, dear viewer, if it turned out that Obama or Joe Biden have the New York Times catching and killing stories. The Washington Post takes a story about a scandal and just kills it. Do you think they'd be going on Fox News like, well, you know, I don't like the guy, he's a commie and a fascist, but you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger did it, so I think we're fine. I kind of doubt it. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, that doesn't bother him. Will he, in the end, be willing to line up behind a guy if it bothers the jurors? Take a look at this.
If he is convicted, you will still support him and vote for him.
Absolutely. I think what's going on with Donald Trump is weaponization of the law. He's being prosecuted in Manhattan, one of the deepest blue cities in the country, Georgia and Fulton County. Jack Smith is going after Trump, but Clinton and, Biden. Anyway, I think most people have written this off.
I love it. First of all, that's wishful thinking. Not everybody has written it off. And your heart really isn't in the whataboutism. When you're like, he's going after President Trump, meanwhile, with Biden, whatever. Like, dude, do you care? Do you think he committed a crime? Because you don't seem that bothered by it. And he goes through the same stuff that Alina Haba gets caught on, like, why is this happening in a blue place? Because that's where he did the crime. And I'll end on this. The weaponization of the law, it's not the weaponization of the law. It's the lawization of the law. It's saying that laws matter, and if you break them, you should be prosecuted. That's not turning them into a weapon. That's having them be the thing they're supposed to be. Francesca, what do you think?
I mean, it's really funny to catch a Trump loyalist like Lindsey Graham before they've had their coffee, because they're not up on like the number of excuses that they have to just go through, you know, rather than what they really want to say, which is just like, I don't care. I'm gonna vote for him. We want lower taxes. He's a Republican. You can grab whoever P word you want. Like he just wants to say that. Like, so when you get the right really tired or just off their game, they're like, I don't care. He could shoot. He could kill my grandma. Yeah. I mean, maybe even my mom. I don't know.
But he's gonna be the guy. You're 100% right. Like they're kind of beaten down. And what wouldn't you be if you were Lindsey Graham at this point? It would be tough to even get out of bed. What she could have done is said, now I'm gonna ask you a follow-up, Senator Graham. I'm gonna ask you if you're still gonna vote for Trump, but don't answer yet. I wanna make this more interesting. And she snaps her fingers, and Donald Trump walks into frame, in Lindsey Graham's frame, zips down his fly and begins peeing on Lindsey Graham's head. Lindsey Graham would turn to the camera as urine streams down his face and said, of course I'm gonna vote for him. Like that would happen. These are not men, they're not rebels, they're not mavericks, they're nothing. They're pathetic, spineless creatures. They should be found, you know, when like a submarine goes deeper into the ocean than it's ever gone before, and you find those weird little creatures. That's who these senators are, okay? They're no better than that.
They should go on that submersible. You know, hey, what's down there? Ooh, maybe your spine is all the way down in the deep blue sea. Lindsey Graham in that analogy would probably vote for him even more. He would campaign and stump for him.
100%.
That to become a reality, and he zipped down his fly and all the things that you said that I really don't want to think about. You're grossing me out today, John.
I'm trying to flip the script a little bit. I had my caffeine. Anyway, okay, so they don't care about the trials. Okay, so the stuff that he's been accused of doing, they don't care about that. Okay, well, what about some of the allegations now that are not gonna lead to a trial, but I think are a little bit worrying? What about claims that he has privately mused about murdering his political opponents? Take a look at this with William Barr.
I wanna ask you about a New York Times piece, lengthy piece on you yesterday. Talked about your relationship to the Trumps. They talk about your evolution from calling him loathsome and an idiot to somebody who frankly is being floated as a VP pick to join his ticket. Here's a sample of that piece. David Frum, a Trump critic and a former speechwriter for President George W. Bush, who's known Vance for years, described the senator as an intelligent man with an extraordinary life story who has, quote, sunk to the depths of political degradation. Washington Post says, you're going to the same negative place that you once criticized Trump for going. Now, he's not changed over the last few years. He's the same guy we've been knowing for a long time. So what's changed with you that you're okay with the behavior and you're supporting him and maybe joining his ticket?
Well, Shana, look, the simple fact is the policies and the results were really there. We had low inflation, we had rising wages, and we had a world that wasn't on fire. And now after 4 years, 3 years of Joe Biden, we have rising inflation, a stagnating economy, and it seems like a crisis in every single sector of the world. If you can't look at the 4 year accomplishment of Donald Trump and say, from the perspective of 2015, I was wrong. I didn't think he would be a good president. He was a great president. That's not about, you know, sinking to political degradation. That's looking at reality and recognizing that Donald Trump was a success.
The fact check, that right there is political degradation. Political degradation for profit, to be fair. JD Vance made the decision. All that stuff I said when I was supposed to be like a principled thinker, a writer, I would rather have power and money. So screw all that. And that is why he says all of the things that he just said right there. All of the insane things about him turning to like Trump because he just waited and saw the results or whatever. It wasn't about him desperately wanting to get power and to get a massive paycheck and be able to cash in. It was none of that. Notice, by the way, that it's not like JD Vance wrote his book, talked about how Trump could be America's next Hitler or whatever, and then 4 years later is like, you know what? I was wrong. No, he's saying that now he has become a senator. He has power, he has influence, and he only got that by changing and supporting Donald Trump. So are you really gonna trust what he's saying when it has been entirely in his own direct financial and political self-interest to say these things, particularly when the evidence is so weak? The idea that we had a world of peace under Donald Trump and now we have crises. We were involved in multiple foreign wars every single day that Donald Trump was president. He left office, albeit unwillingly, not having gotten us out of any of those conflicts. The economy was in a shambles because he had so willingly bungled a massive public health emergency. Mm-hmm. This rewriting of what that period was supposed to be like is insane. And I only hope that most people don't buy it because that's not the way it actually was. I have more thoughts, Francesca. What do you make of this?
Yeah, I have two thoughts. Just to echo you, like, I don't know why we're taking JD Vance seriously. It is mind-boggling that he gets on CNN, that they can actually take him seriously, because we know that he is, if there's one thing he's known for, it is kissing the ring and being rewarded for doing so and doing an entire 180, and he's just like prime example of a sycophant. So like, why are we asking him serious questions about how he thought the economy was? Like, it has nothing to do with the American people. He doesn't know. He's gonna say like, how much could a banana cost? $10? Literally, that's like the Jesse Waters. Oh, you know, when you're working at McDonald's and you're making $100,000 a year. Are you kidding me? These people are so detached from reality. And then the other part is what you're saying, the amnesia, the memory of a gnat that I think a lot of Americans have, that the right makes sure that we have, and they're led by all of these gnats that are like, yeah, everything was good. Listen, how did your life get better in 4 years? I'm very curious. If you are a MAGA Republican, how did your life notably get better? Now, again, you're probably, if you're listening to my voice, you're probably not a billionaire. Because if you are a billionaire, your life definitely got better. Again, you got to write off things like private jets, $60 million worth of them. But if not, like, how did putting kids in cages and separating them from their parents, detaining them at the border and exporting them en masse, like, how did that help you? How did putting a border wall up on the US-Mexico border in a lot of places that Biden has sadly continued, how did that help your life? Did your wages go up? Were you able to afford a home? Like, yeah. What happened? So they can't point to anything.
If you are JD Vance, your life got better.
Yeah.
You were just some writer or whatever. Now you're a senator. You didn't have to learn anything. You didn't have to really do anything.
Thanks to the media, John, right?
In large part, because they lifted him up before he switched over. If we are supposed to believe this cover story of, I was just sitting back and watching and looking at the evidence, and thus I decided, okay, we're talking about the wars and the economy and all that. Let's focus on the thing he criticized Trump for. He said that he could be America's Hitler. He could be a dictator. Okay, what's the evidence after 4 years of Donald Trump? Well, he refused to leave office. He tried in multiple ways to overturn the results of the election. He initiated a violent coup against the Capitol. I mean, if you're worried about him being America's Hitler, you could also talk about the racial demagoguery, the banning of a religion, the locking up of kids and all that. You could talk about all that contextual stuff. But the raw thing of, they say he could be a dictator. He literally refused to leave office. I'm just looking at the evidence and the guy wasn't that bad. I mean, there have been a lot of people that have made a mockery of the stances they used to take. Sununu is a great example of that. We're gonna get to Barr in just a sec. But I don't know if anyone has the money quote like a J.D. Vance of he could be America's Hitler. If J.D. Vance is remembered 50 years from now, and I highly doubt that that will happen because as a senator, he hasn't done a single interesting thing yet. And I don't think he ever will because he didn't get there to do anything interesting. He got there to be there and to get paid to be there. It should be for the way that he enthusiastically dove into this political degradation. Now that said, I messed up the order before, but now I do want to turn to Bill Barr and the threats to kill your political opponents. Take a look at this.
Melissa Farah Griffin, who was Trump's communications director, posted yesterday and said that you were present at a moment when Trump suggested executing the person who leaked information that he went to the White House bunker when those George Floyd protests were happening outside the White House. Do you remember that?
I remember him being very mad about that. I actually don't remember him saying executing, but I wouldn't dispute it. You know, I mean, it doesn't sound, I mean, the president would lose his temper and say things like that. I doubt he would have actually carried it out. I don't, you know.
You were there, they say, to hear the president say, I'm gonna kill that guy. And you're like, yeah, I don't remember that, but I don't know. He said stuff like that all the time, so I can't dispute it. He probably wouldn't actually kill the guy. Oh, dictatorship is so funny. Who says comedy is dead? Anyway, little follow up then. If this guy was saying stuff like that, is that worrying to you, Bill Barr? Take a look.
But he would say that on other occasions? You said
the president, the president had I think people sometimes took him too literally, and you know, he would say things like similar to that in occasions to blow off steam. But I wouldn't take him literally every time he did it.
Why not?
Because at the end of the day, it wouldn't be carried out, and you could talk sense.
But just because it's not carried out, and you could talk sense into him, doesn't that still mean that the threat is there?
No, I mean I think. I don't think the threat is there. The thing that I worry about President Trump is not that he's going to become an autocrat and do those kinds of things.
Why not?
Because I don't think he would. But at the end of the day,
what's the basis for that understanding that you have? Well, or is it just your own hunch?
That's my feeling, having worked for him and seen him in action. I don't think he would actually go and kill political rivals and things like that.
That's fun. I want to add a couple of interesting bits of context to that. First of all, I love the idea that as a member of opposition media, my hope that I won't be murdered should rely on Bill Barr's hunch. He has a hunch that Donald Trump won't become a dictator. That is comforting. So first of all, bear in mind, just last week, Donald Trump's lawyer argued before the Supreme Court that he could legally order the assassination of political rivals. So he's saying it behind the scenes. His lawyers are literally arguing for it before the Supreme Court. But Bill Barr has a hunch. That's true. Also bear in mind that Bill Barr says he'll vote for Trump in 2024. He supports him, despite the fact that he's just casually blowing off steam by talking about killing people. And I just want to really quick, we don't normally do this live during the show, but I want to give a Blue Apron gift card to Jasper Katz in the Twitch chat, who said, if I said that at my workplace to blow off steam, I would be fired. Why can he?
Right?
If I worked at Angelino's Italian restaurant as a busboy, if I had blown off steam talking about killing one of the customers, I wouldn't be allowed to gather up dishes anymore. You can't do that if you're a busboy. How can you do that if you're a president? And Barr's one of the guys who was critical of Trump, and he's apologizing for the casual references to killing those he disagrees with. But don't worry, again, he has a hunch that he won't become a dictator. Francesca?
No one's coming to save us, guys. That's just my thought on this. Is Barr decided to turn on Trump because he felt like there must be some amount of accountability for what happened on January 6th. And he didn't want to throw down with the wrong side of history. But now that the wrong side of history might actually win another election, he's like, yeah, I could do that. And for me, I always come back to Stephen Miller. There's a reason that nobody interviews Stephen Miller, Trump's, you know, whatever he is, national security advisor, you know, right wing, right hand troll. Because Stephen Miller literally says the thing. He's like, there's nothing wrong with rounding up protesters if they are, you know, defying and defiling American democracy. Like, he will say, you know, the thing and just be like, yeah, yeah, we're doing that. And everyone else has to make excuses for why that's not serious. They wouldn't do that. Yeah. When you see right now, you know, universities calling the cops on their student protesters who want an end to the genocide in Gaza. Like, imagine if Donald Trump were in office, right? It'd be only worse. And it's difficult to imagine it being any worse because honestly, Biden is utterly messing up this moment. But it can. And Trump would relish in it. Trump would be like, yeah, open fire, let's go. Like, no more of these like flex cuffs. Like, let's get some real artillery in there.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Look, I think that I talked about this in the pre-report this morning. We should always be able to argue both sides. It's a mark of, I think, you know, being a critical thinker. If you want to have hope that Donald Trump will not be the guy who kills his political opponents or whatever, I can provide you a small amount of hope about that. But it's not that he's not truly that guy or that the checks and balances will be there. This is what I have left at the end of the day. He's really lazy and he's easily distracted.
Yeah.
So maybe it won't happen. That's it. No norms, no laws, not the SCOTUS, nothing. That's it. And honestly, I don't even have much faith in that because again, he used to have a lot of terrible people and some people who were terrible, but weren't necessarily willing to set fire to the Capitol or whatever. Now he's just going to have really terrible people and terrible people like Stephen Miller, who you can't tell me that guy hasn't at some point masturbated while fantasizing about being a Nazi. Like the worst people you can imagine. As this is not a claim of truth. This is, and I don't want to be crass, so I apologize in advance. But Brett Ehrlich once said that in high school, Stephen Miller's girlfriend clearly hooked up with a Mexican guy and that just doomed us all to fascism. And I think that's kind of what's going on here. It's the sort of people that they have no higher aspiration than to be one of the foot soldiers for the utter annihilation and dismantling of American democracy and our way of life and our culture. And I know that sort of thing is thrown around very casually. I don't think it's true of everyone. I think Lindsey Graham is a willing fool or whatever. I don't think that he dreams of ending democracy or whatever, but there are people like that. There are a lot of people who are fully willing to go along. J.D. Vance has already made that devil's bargain. He got a little bit of power and he's willing to end what America is. And then there's people like Stephen Miller that is the only reason that they see themselves, the reason they see themselves being alive. And so,
I mean, and the wild thing is the media, right? It's like, when is the media going to stop pretending that the other side are not just out and out fascists and they're just waiting, you know? And it stems from the fact that Biden still probably feels that the Republican Party is going to have some grand epiphany. Remember the epiphany? Where's the epiphany? Still waiting, Joe, for the right to have an epiphany about Donald Trump. Not happening.
They're like allowed to have a dream of an epiphany if the next Trump election is 4 years out and maybe he'll have a heart attack. And that's it.
Right?
And as soon as we're getting closer, there is no one who is going to take Trump out. Trump's circulatory system might take himself out. That might save us. But other than that, there is no hero on the right. There are a few critics, Liz Cheney or whatever, Kinzinger, they're willing to criticize him, admittedly. But they can't take him out. They might be willing to take him out, but they can't do it. Other people might be able to, but aren't willing to do it. That's what we're left of, those two categories of people, and neither is going to save us. I'll remind you, by the way, that Bill Barr, who's continuing to support Donald Trump in that interview over the weekend, when he announced last week that despite saying that Trump was not qualified to be president again, that he would vote for him. Do you remember what he posted on True Social about Bill Barr, Donald Trump?
Yeah.
He had called him weak, slow-moving, lethargic, gutless, and lazy based on the fact that I greatly appreciate his wholehearted endorsement. I am removing the word lethargic from my statement. Thank you, Bill. He called him a fat tub of lard again. And Bill Barr's like, hit me again if that's what it takes. Just keep hitting me. Again, Donald Trump could walk onto the set, zip down his fly and pee in Bill Barr's head, and he would still support him becoming president again. Now that said, there are a lot of people boosting Donald Trump for their own political aspirations because they want power, because they want notoriety or money or fame or whatever. Some of them, though, at the end of the day, just want a hug. And that is our last category. Take a look at this.
Going all over the place. His stamina, Maria, I've never seen anything like it in my life. I mean, I've just never seen it. He'll be in trial all day long, relentlessly being attacked by a corrupt judge,
yeah,
you know, whose literally family is apparently profiting off of this whole thing, only to step out and go to events at bodegas and wake up and speak to union workers and go to Michigan and go to Pennsylvania and go to Ohio,
right,
and
yeah,
go to all the other swing states. The guy is really a remarkable human being, and I love him to death, and I'm proud of him. And I think the whole world knows his backbone and his toughness, and it's exactly who we need behind the Resolute desk in Washington, D.C. It's the exact person we need in the Oval Office.
So right there, you have Kendall Roy just saying all of the things about Trump that he just desperately wants Trump to say. Just tell me you love me. Tell me you're proud of me. Like, imagine growing up in the shadow of Donald Trump. And at the end of the day, he's literally on trial right now for paying hush money payments for cheating on Melania 2 months after she gave birth to Barron, the brother of that creature right there. I'm proud of him. He has stamina. Dude can't stay awake during his own trial. What do you mean stamina? Strength? Backbone? He has the thinnest skin that has ever existed. It might as well not even be there. Now, I know it's his family member. He's going to say stuff like this. But it's like, have you heard Donald Trump talk about Eric Trump in 1/100th the positive manner that Eric Trump still goes on TV and tells to Donald? Like, I'm sure he would say this stuff directly to his father if his father ever took his phone calls. Instead, he has to go on Fox to try to get some sort of relationship going. The dude doesn't care about you. Anyway, I apologize. I know this is not the most important stuff. Francesca, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's just so sad what he has to do for love. But also, like, I love that the clip that Fox News is showing at the same time is just Trump, like, I can hear him heavy breathing. Like, there's no audio, but you hear him going like, "Hi, how are you?" And you're like, he's got stamina. No, he doesn't have stamina. Nobody has stamina. This is the death knell of both parties. Oh my God, we're just choosing the least senile, least fascist one of them. I hate this election already. Thank you.
I will end with this. I don't want to be a telepath, because I can already tell too much about what many people are thinking by reading their facial expressions and things to say. That's too much. I don't like it. But briefly, I wish I could know what Don Jr. and Eric actually think about their father. I mean, they've seen all of this. They pay attention to the news. They might not have much cognitive capacity to really, like, you know, sift through it, but they know the things he's alleged to have done. They saw, like, they lived on January 6th. When their father initiated a coup against the United States.
Yeah.
Are they proud of him? Do they love that? Or do they think, well, I got like 3 or 4 more years until the McDonald's finally catches up with his heart, and I don't want to be written out of the will. So,
yep.
Is it possible that they'll do an about face once Trump finally croaks to try to get back in like the good graces of American society and culture? I wonder.
I think Ivanka's trying, but no. I think
Ivanka has the best case to it, I guess. Anyway, we're going to take a short break, everyone. Lots more to talk about on the other side of this. Donald Trump is starting to sweat from what he's seeing in the polls. But I want to be clear, it's not necessarily about Joe Biden. No, he appears to have noticed that RFK Jr. is still running, still making waves in the polls, and not necessarily the sorts of waves that Donald Trump and the MAGA world were hoping that he would. I want to take you back to 11:30 p.m. last night when Donald Trump bleated this about RFK Jr., saying, "Why did Jr.'s family," he just calls him Jr. now. I guess that's insulting. I don't know. "So bonkers at the thought of him running against crooked Joe Biden because they are radical left lunatics and they can't conceive of their even more liberal brother running as anything else. MAGA 2024. Don't waste your vote, space on Kennedy." Okay, so he's very worried about Kennedy, because if he actually thought what he's pretending to think here, that RFK Jr. is more left than other members of the Kennedy family, more left than Joe Biden, then it stands to reason that he would draw votes from people who are more left than Joe Biden. He would draw away from Joe Biden. So then why would he be tweeting about it? Don't waste your vote on Kennedy. Well, he's not telling the Dems to not vote for Kennedy. He is apparently worried that his attempt to brand RFK Jr. as some sort of mega progressive or whatever has not been going the way that he wanted. And there's other posts like this. He's been doing this for days now. RFK Jr. is a Democrat plant, a radical left liberal who's been put in place in order to help crooked Joe Biden, the worst president in the history of the United States, get capital R reelected. A vote for Jr. would essentially be a wasted protest vote that could swing either way, but would only swing against the Democrats if Republicans knew the true story about him. Jr. is totally anti-gun, an extreme environmentalist who makes the Green New scammers look capital C conservative, a big time taxer, an open border advocate, an anti-military slash vet. Well, but if that's what he actually was, if all those stances were true, again, Democrats would be voting for him instead of Joe Biden. But that does not appear to be the case. And Donald Trump appears to be catching wise to that. And I find it so interesting, Francesca, because we've really had multiple phases of this, where the polling comes in and seems to show he's hurting Biden or he's hurting Trump. And then instantly the attempt to reframe him like swings into action. Whereas I would say, obviously I have a dog in this fight, but I am perfectly willing for people to just see RFK Jr. for what he is, what he has said and what he's campaigning on. Mm-hmm. Neither of the other sides are comfortable with that. They all want to say who he is. I think he's doing a great job of saying who he is. The issue for Trump is that appeals to right wingers more than to progressives. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think RFK is a really interesting conundrum. And I think especially the relationship between Donald Trump and RFK is something to be worried about. You know, there's a thin line between love and hate when it comes to Trump, right? He hates you if he thinks you're gonna go against him and he can't buy you off and you're not gonna be loyal to him. And he loves you like J.D. Vance, we talked about earlier, Lindsey Graham, Kellyanne Conway, Ted Cruz, name every single stooge who once railed against him. And I still think that RFK Jr., although he says he wouldn't be Trump's running mate and says that maybe Trump offered him the vice presidential ticket, I think he might. I think he would, because RFK Jr. is not actually registered in many states. And I think that if he sees the writing on the wall, which is that he's not going to be winning this, of course, not by a long shot, he might turn. That being said, I think RFK is a very interesting problem for Biden as well and for Trump, right? Obviously the anti-vax, what he is actually capitalizing on is extremely wealthy anti-vax elites. Like that, and those folks are sort of apolitical, meaning, I mean, crap, our bipartisan duopoly is not all that dissimilar in a lot of ways. These are people who maybe went for Trump in 2016, then went for Biden in 2020.
Yeah.
You know, again, they are the like wine drunk, alpaca clad, you know, suburban women that actually both Donald Trump and Joe Biden really want to get. The difference for me is, of course, as we know, is obviously, are those women comfortable with being effective second class citizens given the likely total abortion ban that Donald Trump would be laying out there? So we'll see. I mean, do we remember where RFK is on abortion? I believe that he is against it.
I don't remember for sure. I'm not sure. I wasn't sure what the wine drunk alpaca clad suburbanites were like. And I asked Midjourney to generate image and that's just an image of Jeannie Pirro. But anyway, no. I'm not sure. Look, I will say this. I think that if he is taking votes, look, partially it's name. He has a name. And then it's like Trump's original sin. It's like the wound that a hero in classic mythology has that never heals. Mm. For him, it's that he briefly did one thing right. He told people to take the vaccine. Mm-hmm. And he never should have done that, because that's an inroads. And by the way, don't DM me. I am not saying that RFK Jr. is anti-vax, mostly because I don't want you to DM me. All I'm saying is the anti-vaxxers sure seem to think he's anti-vax. That's all I'm saying. He's not, but they sure seem to think that he is. Anyway, I just want to very quickly let you know, he goes on to say, by the way, I'd even take Biden over Junior because our country would last a year or two longer prior to collapse. By the way, like, there are a lot of things that Biden hasn't done right. But like all of the stuff they say is a mark of a country that is on the upswing. Biden is doing it better than Trump. We're exporting more oil. I think it's bad, but they think it's great. The stock market is higher than ever was under Donald Trump. I don't think that's reflective of the real economy, but they sure seem to think that it is. So you cannot pitch this as being a country on the verge of collapse, at least not in the way that you see things. I'm worried about the climate apocalypse and everything, but Donald Trump doesn't agree with me on that. And by the way, the polls do seem to show, we'll close with this before we move on. Biden and Trump at the latest Quinnipiac University national poll are tied 46-46. If you throw RFK into the mix, it's still tied, although at a lower number. But if you force the RFK juniors to choose who they want, then they break 47-29 for Trump. I think, look, I don't know that he would pick him as his VP pick, but I do think it probably would be a wise move for certain states. Those couple of percentage points could be all he needs in like a Michigan or an Arizona or something like that. I mean, it would be utter madness. And I feel like there's like a 50-50 chance we end up with President RFK Jr. in that case because of Donald Trump and his body and everything. But anyway, there's other polls that buttress that
body.
You know, I'm not an actuarial body table
shame
or anything, but
beautiful, beautiful it's slug.
It's not about that. It's just about if we're trying to project lifespan.
No. Look, he'd have COVID. To do a 180. Here's the thing. This is the trick. I mean, you know, at this point, we're all just numb. Like, I'm just numb to what's happening right now. But so long as we're numb, the only way that Trump could get RFK back on his ticket is if, well, he'd have to give him a lot more power, I think, in terms of shaping the ticket. And he'd have to do a 180 on Operation Warp Speed or whatever the hell it was.
Mm-hmm. It was Warp Speed.
Warp Speed. So we'll see. Do you know what I mean? Trump doesn't change positions for many people. He was even like, I don't know about this anti-woke. I guess everyone's woke. It's just a new word, you know?
Yeah.
So,
because he doesn't like it when he's not the person who comes up with the thing everybody's crazy about.
Of course.
Yeah.
Warp Speed. We'll see. That sounds so cool.
Yeah. TV. And it's a good thing that he came up with funding vaccine development because no other president would have thought of that.
No. Absolutely not.
Anyway, we're gonna totally switch things up to close out this segment. Let's jump into this. The political rhetoric surrounding the campus protests currently sweeping the nation is already as divisive as you can imagine. The last thing we needed layered on top of that was just out and out lies about what's actually happening. But of course, it's 2024, this is America, and we have the media that we do. And thus we get our Monday menace. A bevy of people just openly lying about one of these protests because Republicans have been focused on Columbia and they like that. But Harvard is really the one they want to talk about. And so let's turn now to Greg Abbott commenting on a Palestinian flag flying in Harvard that he is going to pretend Harvard put up in place of the US flag. So he said in response to that, Congress must never again allocate a single taxpayer dollar to Harvard. Now, if you think the idea that the administration of Harvard took down American flags and put up Palestinian flags is a little bit difficult to believe, that's because any thinking person would question that. Greg Abbott is willingly not a thinking person anymore. As you can probably see from the fact check that we're gonna show, the Palestinian flags were raised by protesters, obviously not Harvard staff. Harvard denounced it. The US flag wasn't up to be replaced. It only flies during certain hours. And over the weekend, when there was no American flag there, some of the protests put up a Palestinian flag. The flags were only briefly flown before being taken down. No aspect of this whatsoever is true. But even if it was true, I will remind you, Greg Abbott is the guy who campaigned for years, I'm gonna be the defender of free speech specifically on college campuses, saying it shouldn't be necessary, it's in the Constitution, you have a right, but we're gonna pass a law anyway because it's so important to me. Meanwhile, if a flag is put up on an empty flagpole that he doesn't like, that college should be banned from federal assistance until the end of days. What do you think, Francesca?
I mean, it's another piece of misinformation that is spreading like wildfire and used to falsely paint these students who want an end to genocide as somehow anti-Semitic, even though so many of them are Jewish Americans and they are then being called self-hating. I mean, it is wild the amount of just bad faith stuff. And when you see someone like Greg Abbott posting that, when you see Mike Johnson going to Columbia University to use it to speak and use it as like a platform, you know that this is that like if you still support the government of Israel at this hand, you like at this point, you are completely throwing down with the far right. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I would say is if this were an Israeli flag, nobody would care. If it were an Israeli flag that was put up briefly, it would not even be a tweet to tweet out. It would not be a story.
And well, it might be a positive tweet from right. Greg Abbott.
It is very curious to me that this is, that we are, this is obviously a political movement. The far right is always saying like, you know, we're always beholden to, you know, foreign countries and America first and America first. But they have no problem, just like so many leading Democrats have no problem with sending billions of our taxpayer dollars, forget about Harvard, over to kill women, children, doctors, teachers,
yeah,
refugees in Gaza. Every 10 days on October 7th happens in Gaza. That's the number of people that are being killed is on pace with that. So like when we're told about like, we're being gaslit about like, oh, you're beholden to a foreign government. But like, but since when are we just completely in lockstep with literally everything that Israel does? And it's okay if they take our money. Like, I'm yeah. sorry, but we need to actually be consistent here. But of course, we're talking about the right. They're never yeah. consistent about anything.
No. They don't need to be because their base does not expect them to be. By the way, though, thank you, Greg Abbott, because you have now given us an interesting tactic. If you're out there and there's like a really conservative university that you don't like, do you know what you can do? Sneak on campus, take down one of the American flags, put up a Confederate flag. They never get funding again. That's how it works, I guess. You can do that. Hell, make it more obvious. Just do the Palestinian flag. No, of course, they don't actually mean this. They've never meant a single word about free speech. Look, there are a lot. I'm going to try to catch everyone up. If you're new to following American politics, and particularly people who comment on American politics, there are a lot of things that people talk about where they basically never mean what they say. I am going to put forward that there is no topic like free speech for people lying to you about what they believe.
Yes, yes.
I don't believe a single person who has made free speech core to their ideology has ever meant it, ever.
At least after the year 1973, like after sure. like the actual free speech movement at Berkeley, I think that's yeah. like everyone else is just being bad faith about it.
It's effectively a way to let people know I'm an a-hole. You'll figure that out in a few years. But for now, let me tell you more about my stance on free speech. That's what it yeah. means.
Yep.
Anyway, by the way, I just want to read one other tweet from Representative Randy Fine. Said, since I was a 12-year-old lower middle class kid from Kentucky, I wanted to go to Harvard. I've been proud of it my entire life. I even went twice. Today is the first day I've ever considered burning my degrees. Because a kid put up a flag over the weekend and they took it down. You're going to burn your degrees, you goof. Again, this is the thing. Like I was talking in the production meeting. They all want to go to these elite Ivy League schools. Because they want to get ahead in life. They want to clerk for a Supreme Court justice or whatever. But then they have to appeal to regular right wingers. And they're like, oh yeah, we're not supposed to be elitist. I guess I hate Harvard or whatever. They don't mean it. It's like Ted Cruz demonizing going to colleges. He went to every fancy pants college that's ever existed. It's all a fake. It's a play. They're conning you. Anyway, with that said, we're going to take a short break. More to get to on the other side of this. We are going to get to Carrie Lake on the other side of the end of this hour. So if you're listening to the podcast and you want to catch that, just go to the YouTube channel and it'll be up soon. But we have to first address Ron DeSantis starting with this.
With Donald Trump, if you don't kiss the ring, you could be the best governor ever and he'll trash you. You could be a terrible, corrupt politician, but if you kiss his ring, then all of a sudden he'll praise you.
Right there, Ron DeSantis laid out his understanding about how you get in good with Donald Trump. You just bow down, you kneel, you kowtow, you kiss the ring, and then you're back in. Now, right there, you had Ron DeSantis, who still had aspirations of being his own independent man, a powerful alpha man. So they're doing the kissing of the ring. I wouldn't do that. But of course, he left the race. We haven't heard from him in several months. So yeah, time to polish up that ring because the kisses are coming. Trump and DeSantis reportedly met in Florida to bury the hatchet after their brutal primary campaign. This was reportedly the first meeting that they had. They apparently have not even spoken since Ron DeSantis left the race. And maybe that's why they're meeting now. Ron DeSantis has become so utterly irrelevant on the national stage. I mean, he was already kind of irrelevant even as a candidate, but it's been really bad for him. And so he apparently had an intermediary set up this meeting, and DeSantis has agreed to help Donald Trump. Now, what help does he need? Well, it comes in a couple different ways. The primary one is money. Donald Trump desperately needs it. And so apparently, we've kind of reported on this, but Trump and allied groups have lagged behind President Biden and his allies in the money chase. They have not been raising as much money. DeSantis has built a wide network of wealthy patrons whose assistance would be valuable in helping Trump try to close the gap, and is popular with some Republican voters who are exhausted by Trump. Now, the weird thing about that is, I'm fairly certain that Donald Trump said that if you donated money to his rivals, he doesn't want your money anymore. Mm-hmm. He was a big, strong man saying that. Now, suddenly, he needs that money. But it's not just that. Ron DeSantis is still popular in Florida. And although I think this is probably a waste of time, Joe Biden has said that he plans to use abortion rights to try to put Florida in play in the November election. So maybe Donald Trump needs help beyond just the money. Maybe he needs help on the home front when it comes to the race. Francesca, what do you think of this?
Absolutely. I mean, and I think that Ron DeSantis' culture war is just, so it rings so hollow. It's like, what are you actually doing for the people of Florida other than taking out all of their children's library books and telling them that they can't have bodily autonomy and they have to be parents when they don't want to be? It's just like, at some point, you're gonna have to do something for the people. You know, and like, yeah, him and his, you know, like, you know, Karen PTA moms that back him might all be hunky-dory, but also maybe they're voting for RFK at this point, right? Like, maybe they're not gonna be Trumpy. Nobody wants Trump's drama. DeSantis was offering something different, you know, a whole other bouquet of drama, just little dramas, you know, oh, trans people are existing, that kind of stuff. And they're sick of it. So the question to me is like, where are those wealthy donors gonna go? Are they gonna sit it out? Are they gonna ultimately throw down with Trump? Are they gonna be like, nah, you know what? At the end of the day, don't wanna pay higher taxes, so here we go. And they very well might do that. They might say the drama is worth it. It is just fascinating to me, but I do think that yes, Florida could be in play, because Ron DeSantis is just not, he's not an effective leader. He's not even an effective leader in the way that like Youngkin could be an effective leader, like sort of distancing from Trump, not completely, you know, having his own, you know, culture war, but being a little more serious. You know what I mean? Like just DeSantis is not helpful for the Republican Party writ large.
Yeah, well, DeSantis wants to be helpful for himself though. Like he is doing the same, he's just like Ted Cruz before him, and you know, all they're all just trying to make it through this period and looking to the future. Ron DeSantis, sources are saying, is still like 2028. That'll be the time. And I don't see it. Like, you know, feel free to clip this out and you show me how I'm wrong when he becomes president in 5 years or whatever, but I just don't see it. He has a terminal case of being a little weenie. He just does. And, you know, little weenie in a state where they have all the political power can still cause a lot of chaos and havoc in people's lives. But that doesn't mean he's going to beat other people on the Republican side. And this, I'm sure, will be a little bit helpful to Donald Trump. I'm sure some of those donors will, as you say, be like, well, I still want the tax cuts. But are they going to donate as enthusiastically as they would to DeSantis if he had been the nominee? Probably not. So it'll be a little bit helpful, but that money is basically just going to a massive pit of Donald Trump's legal fees. We'll see what ends up happening. That is unfortunately all the time we have for the first hour of the Young Turks, everyone. Much more to come in the aftermath though. So if you're watching live, stay tuned on Twitch and YouTube for more after this.